Ephesians 1:17.
I pray that God, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Ephesians 1:17. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Ephesians 1:17.
John 17:17. Jesus continued praying, sanctify them, disciples and church age believers, by your truth, your word is truth. John 17:7. Jesus continued praying, sanctify them, disciples and church age believers, by your truth, your word is truth. John 17:17. Psalm 145:18-19. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Psalm 145:18-19. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Psalm 145:18-19. Children, please stand for Bible class. We're still in Philippians 1:9. That's where we'll be. Part 2. Paul's prayer to the Philippians. And before we get started, we'll take a moment to handle any unconfessed sin in our lives that we might have so we can metabolize the Word and also have the ability to concentrate as much as we can and therefore glorify God in learning more about Him and applying it to our lives. So let's go ahead and take a moment and do that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for another day to continue on this journey. We are excited on a day-to-day basis because we know that You have something new for us each and every day. We ask for clarity today in Your Word. We ask for strength so we can be able to see what You want us to see and know what You want us to know. And we also pray for guidance in that Word. Thank You for all Your blessings. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So Philippians 1:9. Last Sunday, we took a look at verse 8, which says, for God is my witness how I continually long for all of you in the affection of Christ Jesus. And Paul was assuring the Philippians of his feelings for them. He was relating it to Jesus Christ's feelings himself. So the mind of Christ was actually coming out there. We could see that in Paul's feelings for the Philippians. And then we moved on to Paul's prayer to the spiritually mature Philippians in verse 9. And one thing that is for sure is that even though a prayer is directed towards mature believers, it definitely applies to all believers. So no one of us are excluded from this. I did want to say that because the meat of the prayer applies to all believers. So wherever you are in your spiritual growth process, we still all need to continue to that next level. So And that's basically what Paul is doing. He's saying he's taking them where they're at in their spiritual life, and he's saying, I want you to go farther. I want you to take it to the next level. I want you to keep going. And that's what he's saying here. So he's praying that this will then, they'll continue to push forward. They'll continue to go farther down that road of maturity, and so they can farther glorify God and maximize their spiritual life even farther. So I'll start reading from verse 9 so we can get into the verse. So, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless unto the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So I mentioned that last Sunday that Paul has a little bit different word order here, because he wants us to focus in on the content of the prayer. He's not worried about the fact that he's praying. He's not telling us, oh, I'm praying for you. I'm praying, you know, he's not worried about that. He's saying, look at the content. And that's why the Greek shifts the this and this I pray. So, and that's more for emphasis, and it's more for us than anything else. So that's where we directed our attention to. So, and from the present tense, we know that this is something that Paul not only prays just here, we know that he prays continuously. He prays this on a consistent basis. He probably even has this in his prayer list for the Philippians. Because you notice when you find something that's a very good thing to pray and it's very effective, it's something you want to keep praying about. Because you know certain things in people's lives, it affects them in different way. So he knows without a doubt that what he's praying here is going to have a positive effect on them. And not only that, but it's also in line with the plan and will of God. That's an important concept, because we sometimes when we pray, we get kind of caught up where we want something to happen, maybe more so than maybe the divine aspect of it. We're kind of detached from that. But if we bring it back down and make sure it's aligned with God's will and his plan, and we can do that when we're constantly growing spiritually and be in line with his plan and have an effective prayer. And this is about as effective as it gets. And that's why it's the present tense, because he consistently does this. So, and it's no different for us. And then he goes in and says, so that your love may abound. And this so that, we said, is indicating purpose here. This is the purpose of Paul's prayer, so that your love may abound. And we saw the word, let me go ahead, and last Sunday is perisuo. And it means it's translated may abound, but it means to be over and above, to overflow, or to be rich in. And remember, it's the subjunctive mood, so it's not necessarily a guarantee for the people in the church, because he's talking to a congregation here. He would love everyone to grow, but not everyone is to the point where they're locked into that positive volition. And we talked a little bit about that last Sunday. He knows there's some that are capable of falling off, and that's normal. So Paul knows they are positive and they're growing. He knows that for a fact. But as we said Sunday, since he's speaking to a congregation, he has to use the subjunctive mood here. So it's not just a single believer. And we talked a little bit about that. There's a certain point in our lives where we come to a point where we are positive, and we become more and more positive as we learn the Word of God. And the reason for that is because of the object of our learning. We learn more and more, and the more we learn, the more excited we become to learn. And that's we don't have that in this life. You know, there's always downsides to certain things, and there's always repercussions, but when it comes to learning the Word of God, there is no downside. There is no downside to you growing to spiritual maturity. There's none at all. So when you get to realizing that, you become so positive that there, you get to the point of no return. That's what I like to call it. The point of no return. You actually realize that for you to take a step back is a risk to not only your spiritual life, but your physical life as well. You'd be almost committing suicide if you were to stop in your spiritual growth. And you actually do realize that. So, and that does happen sometimes. If a certain person may not be to that point yet, and through repeated rejection of truth, believers can and will eventually lead to the sin unto death. Some of you have seen that with people. Some of you have seen it with friends, family. And it's a sad thing to see. You've seen them growing. You've seen them positive. Something happened along the way. They wanted to try this, try that. And before you know it, their time ran out. God gave them a little time. And the problem with that is they knew better. They knew better. And it's the same with us. The more you grow, the more you know. And guess what? The more is required from you. You are responsible. You are a responsible believer. And God knows that. So he's going to use you in ways that are a lot bigger and more have more focus than he would a younger baby believer. So since more is required of you to slack off or to peel off, there's more discipline that's going to be headed our way. So that your love may abound still more and more. And we said Sunday that that seems to be overkill, because the word abound means to overflow. Remember, it means to above and beyond. And then he continues, says more and more. He keeps it up. So what he says, he's not just overflow. He says, don't stop there, but he says, keep going, keep pushing forward. And the word still here in the Greek means a continuance of a current situation, which another reason we can also tell that Paul knows they're currently growing. He says still. He adds that because he knows what they're doing now, and he says keep doing it and continue forward. The word more here is an interesting word. It's not just a greater abundance. When I first read this verse, I thought, well, it just means more love. And to a certain that does certainly apply here, but this has more to it than just loving more people. The word here, it means to a greater or higher degree. So the degree of your love is what he's telling them needs to continue to be more and more. He's not saying more people necessarily. He's talking about not only the abundance of love that is included, but he's talking about the degree and the quality. He's talking about the quality of love, because we all know there's a love, a human side of love, and there's a God side of love. There's a divine love. And when we don't use the divine love, the human side breaks down over time and it won't sustain itself. You have to include the love of God with human love. So that's the quality and the degree he's talking about here. So, and this is also saying that spiritual maturity doesn't have a topping out point. That's what he's saying. He says, keep going more and more. So we can't even say that we've ever arrived, just because we're at a state where maybe we might think and are perceived that we are to a point where we can do that, right? So a good example of this is if you've ever had a job where you do top out. You may get to the point where you've learned everything. You've topped out on the career ladder. You know, you kind of... if you're in the plan of God, that has no effect on you. But if you're not, it does. And you feel like you're at your end. That's it. Where can I go? I can't advance anymore. not happening here in the plan of God. So according to this, we don't have more or less love, but we have the potential to have a greater and greater degree of love. And we're referring to agape here. It's the extent of love. It's the coverage of love. So, and the quality, because it's God's love. It's a divine love. So, which is the highest form of love there is, and which we can only take part of when we are consistently growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. So, this is exactly what Paul's talking about here. He's speaking to the Philippians, and he's talking about their personal love for God. He's not focused on people, because people is a natural result of this. You cannot love people without loving God first. It's not a real love. It'll break down over time. Everybody ever know someone that was married for 50, 60, 70 years and get a divorce because they fell out of love? There's no divine love there. There's no agape love. That's why. Because human love breaks down. It can't maintain itself. So he's talking about love for God the Father, which comes from where? It comes from the thinking portion of our soul. Remember how you really feel. 1 John 4:8 says, "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. He defines love. And really, when it boils down to it, we come to know people and we come to love people. And why we come to love those people is because it's based on something in them. It's based on something they do, something that is part of their personality, how they grew up, how they maybe look, or how they act, or how they talk. But see, when those things start to break down, so does our love for them, in a human sense. So really, our love towards someone is conditional in that aspect. It's conditional. It's based on the object of our love, which we know. So what occupies our thoughts is the question. Whatever occupies your thoughts has a lot to do with who you love. It has a lot to do with who you love. Who's taking up time in your brain? Is it God's word? Or is it something? Fill in the blank. Because when we're consistently growing like we are in here as believers in Jesus Christ, we are consistently thinking about God. No way around that. There is no way around that. Because we're outside in the world with the sin nature, and the only thing we have to back us up is God Himself. And we have the Holy Spirit. So we come here to learn, and we come here to know God, and we naturally come to love Him. Why? Because what are we learning about? Perfection. We're not talking about another object of our love where they're nice one day and they're mean the other, and then our love breaks down. Consistently immutable, the same, always loving back. So the only direction to go in our spiritual growth is to love God even more. That's it. That's absolutely it. And that's what he's telling them to do. He's saying, keep going. He could say, because you can only love him more and more and more. Because remember, he's going to meet us there every time. He's going to meet us at our level. Because why? Because he's already there. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. And that's 99% of the problem is waiting on us. We just have to move out. So Is this something in our minds that takes up our thoughts? Is it something that we desire? Of course it is. And I'm not talking about momentarily. I'm talking about consistently over time. Even the Philippians, though, they can't escape distraction just like we can't. We can't maintain a status of being in fellowship and always thinking divine thoughts. We can't do it. It's impossible. So I'm just talking about what's mostly taking up the real estate in your thought pattern. That's where it's really at. And it can only be two things. We only have two options: divine thought from being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, or human thought from a state of carnality. Those are our options. That's it. So think about it. You got a whole day. You're up. It's only two things that are taking the real estate in your thoughts. That's it. So, true love thinks about the object of their love. Why? Well, because personal love depends on the object. We thought about that. And when we're talking in a human sense, that object is the support of our love. Which is why we said that personal love for God is the only love that solves problems instead of create them. I don't know if you're aware of that, but personal love, if you look back on your life, creates problems. It really does. It really does. It creates problems. And the problem isn't with the love. The problem is with us. That's how it always goes. We assign certain characteristics to people, and in our mind, we assign perfection. Of course, the object of our love is not perfect. So it breaks down, so our thought pattern of the person breaks down as well, which is the love. So how do we come to know the object? Well, because personal love depends on the object to support the love, and in order to have the love which solves problems, we can direct our attention to God and come to love Him and be able to solve our problems with human love. You see how they come together? They mingle together. They go together. There's nothing necessarily wrong with human love, but it can't sustain itself. Can't do it. So we have to have the love of God. So we come to know Him. How do we come to know Him? Through His Word. Through His Word. That's it. And that's just what the verse says. Look what it says next. In real knowledge and all discernment. So the more we know Him, the more we love Him. And that's just because of who and what He is. And that His love towards us does not depend on us. Thank God for that. Boy, if His love depended on us, He would have stopped loving us a long time ago. Because we don't earn or deserve anything we have. It depends on Him. He is love. He defines it. So the more we know Him, the more we love Him. God is infinite, and therefore His love is infinite. And this is how we come to overflow in His love that Paul is talking about. This is where the overflow happens. Because God's love is infinite, and therefore we have a capability to love Him in an abundance. Overflowing with love. So His love is the source of our love towards Him. It just draws us in. That's how powerful it is. We can't help but love Him. And we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. 1 John 4:16 says, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." So see how intimate the connection between God, His love, and us is. Why? Because the emphasis is placed on the object of our love. That's why. So love is only stable when the object is stable. So no matter how much you personally love someone, that love will break down since it's based on the other person, which has a sin nature. But when it's based on your object is God, guess what? It can't break down. Can't do it. Can't happen. So, our personal love creates problems. We know that. God's love solves problems. So, Paul is saying this agape love is what the focus needs to be for the Philippians. On top of that, overflowing and abundance, the degree of love means what? That this overflows to other people. This overflows to other people in your lives. In what form does that look like? Well, you've heard it as impersonal love. I prefer the term unconditional love. So the same way God loves you, you love other people in the same way. We have that capability to not count of whatever's wrong with them or their faults or their flaws against them. Why? Because the love is based on God the Father. And that's what you're maintaining in your soul. So that's how God's love is a problem solver. When our love, our focus of our love is based on the object of God Himself, that love overflows to other people and becomes a problem solver because your love isn't based on the person anymore. It's based on God. And really, that's what our entire spiritual life is really about, isn't it? It's designed to do that. It changes as our thinking changes as we advance, as we grow spiritually. And what happens? Our thinking changes. So before we grew in our relationship, we only knew of one kind of love. And that was always based on the object that broke down the love. But now we have a different kind of love. And we know it. And not do we just know it, we learn it. And we think with it. Remember, we're thinking with the mind of Christ. We have His words. We learn about Him. And what happens after we learn about Him? We think like Him. And this includes love right here. So the degree, in one sense, does include more people. It does include more people. Because you don't even have to know the people. You don't even have to like the person. You don't even have to like the way they look, like the way they dress. Why? Because it's not based on them. It's based on God. That's why. So, God loves us despite our attitude, despite our personality, our nationality, our skin color, our religion, our race, or what we've done in this life, or even whether you're a believer or not. Did you know that? God loves all people. So what happens when we grow in grace and knowledge of Him? We love people not based on any of these things. There's no criteria for our love. So this is what Paul wants the Philippians to overflow in. More and more and more love. His love, agape love. So to extend our human love to the degree of God's love by growing in grace and knowledge of Him. So it's easy to see when we see how God's love is applied to us, how limited our love is compared to Him. It's so limited when you think about it. But when we think about His love, it's endless. It's infinite. And it's never in a negative sense where it depends on me for anything. And aren't we glad of that? Because I'd be late, wouldn't show up, or whatever, and there goes the love, right? So, ours is limited and flawed, and God's is expansive and not perfect love. So this means, and the next thing is the means. We're looking at the means by which the Philippians are to have this love. It says, in real knowledge. And you all know this word, epinosis, long-time buddy, right? And this is the truth in your soul. This is the only way to get to the point of true personal love for God. Remember, it's not just academic knowledge, but it's what? It's truth that has been accepted by faith and moved to the mentality of the soul, which then is divine thought. So not only have you heard it, but you've accepted it. That's what you've done. And you've moved it to a place of divine thinking. And this is only capable by the filling of the Holy Spirit. So it makes sense why this is knowledge that is above simply knowledge. Because it's a spiritual information that requires the Holy Spirit to learn and be applied. So that's why it makes sense why it's above the natural, the gnosis. So only epinosis causes spiritual growth, love for God, and applied wisdom. That's it. Only epinosis. And then it says, and all discernment. And all discernment. Not only that, but it says not only with epinosis, but it adds the addition of discernment here. And what does this mean? This is your capacity to understand life from the backbone of truth. That's what that is. It's our capacity to understand this life from the Word of God. Saying it simple. So your view of life is from the view of God's Word and not from the world. And we all know the difference there. Turn on the TV. You can see things differently. Discernment. Your view is different. So you finally have made it to the status of being a spiritual weirdo now. You see things differently. And you're able to see from a divine perspective. And it's kind of funny, though. We are kind of weird, aren't we? To the rest of the world. But that's okay. I'm good with that. So, discernment. It's the way we view things from the Word of God. So you form a spiritual understanding of the world, which is, by the way, the only understanding of who we are and also the ability to see the spiritual warfare that we are in. Without that discernment, you're oblivious to the world. Oblivious. Verse 10 gives us the result of abound in love and epinosis. It says that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. This is the results. That you may approve the things that are excellent. Did I leave y'all again? Sure did. So, dokimazo means to test or approve. But it's a little bit more than that. It means to make a critical examination of something to determine its genuineness. We can do that. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying so that you may approve the things that are excellent, so that you can make a critical examination to determine whether it's genuine. Well, what are we talking about? The word for excellent here is, you see it on the bottom. Isn't that interesting? It's a compound word with dia, through, and carry, Pharaoh, the second word. So that you may discern what's genuine and what will carry you through. We need works that carry through to the end when they're tested. That's what this is talking about. To surpass the divine or human good and will carry us through when they are tested at the judgment seat of Christ. So to carry through, make a difference. That's what it's talking about. And this is speaking directly of your deeds. And that there's no excuse for the growing believer. So we can see these things. We know these things. We know what's divine good and we know what's human good. It says it right here. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. They can determine the genuineness of their own deeds, and so can we. So we too can be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, because that's where this is going. That's what Paul wants them truly to do, right? And the subjunctive mood of be here is just reiterating the fact that what? We're all responsible for our own deeds. Some are going to have more, some are going to have less than others. But the thing about it is, it all boils down to a decision on your part. It's a decision. God isn't responsible for what you end up with at the judgment seat, and neither are your friends or your family. It's you. It's on you. Subjunctive mood here. So there's no excuse for the growing believer at any point along the process. Sincere here is something that has been rightly judged because of being judged in the rays of God's light. It's described as something proven because it was well examined. These are the deeds that stand up to the judgment of God Himself. That's what this is referring to. We have the ability to know with absolute fact if the deeds we have will stand up to the quality of God's review. Yes, we do. And you know we do. If you're following along with the Word of God and you're staying in tune with the Holy Spirit, you know when you can judge those, when you can see if they're genuine and when they're not. We all know. So, figuratively, it means judged in the rays of God's light. And what's the next word? Blameless. That's how we all want to be. Blameless when we arrive at the judgment seat. That word means to not cause to stumble. We don't want to cause ourselves to stumble just because we made wrong decisions here. We don't want to do that. And finally, verse 11. It says the reason. This is the reason for being found sincere and blameless. Paul says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Having been filled. The English brings that out pretty clear. That's something that's already happened. This is the perfect tense. It's taken place. It's completed. And what's happening? The results are coming out. These are things that we can't change, go back and change. This is the point of over your life on this earth. That's what this is referring to. having been filled. We're filling right now, is what we're doing. We're filling it up with the fruit of righteousness. There's your divine good deeds, which only come through who? Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who came between us and God for one reason. Just so we could have access to eternity. So we can have access to His spiritual life. So we can come to know and love Him as a human being with a sin nature. Doesn't even seem to go together, but it does, because He made it happen. Through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So, we made it through the verse, and next time we'll be able to move to verse 12. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for allowing us to see things that will help us in our life. Thank You for just giving us Your Spirit so we can learn them and grow spiritually and be able to apply them in our lives. We also thank You for Jesus Christ, because You sent Him to this earth for the sole purpose of dying on our behalf. He died on our behalf because You loved us and You wanted us to have a personal relationship with You. And You did that through Your Son. We don't earn that, we don't deserve that, but we have the opportunity to accept that. And You offer that to us in grace. You give it to us in grace. It's free of charge. There's nothing we can do for it. Your word says, "For by grace we are saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God," so that we can't even boast about it. It's that easy. So thank You for allowing us to accept eternal salvation simply by believing in Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.